Welcome to another podcast from the Ministry of Grace Covenant Church in Austin, Texas, where our purpose is to equip you to love with wisdom, passion, and humility.
Today, I would really love to spend some time talking about just recommitment. Just recommitment. If you'll look at your bulletin for just a second, I'll be working from there, but I hope you heard the little introductory video there, that theology matters. Theology matters. What we think about God, I think it was Tozer that said that, what we think about God is the most important thing about us. And if we get our theology wrong, then we get our whole lives wrong. Because what God is like and whether we answer to Him and what His nature and His attributes are supposed to significantly affect everything that we do. They do significantly affect it, whether we know it or not. And so, again, studying God doesn't have to be boring or academic. It can be like watching the sunset, and describing that leaves us speechless. It can be more like, and that's what I'd like to appeal to today, that it's more like falling in love. It's more like falling in love, to study like a man studies his wife who he passionately feels about. He listens to her and tries to understand her likes and dislikes, her values and her fears. And that's not a bad thing. That's a fun thing. And the alternative, of course, beside, you know, instead of studying God, is being ignorant or imaginative. God has revealed himself in a way that we can know what is right and real and true. And we can choose to pursue that in the disciplines of studying the Word of God and His nature. Or we can just hope and base our entire lives on feelings of emotion and expectations that aren't founded in anything except hope and imagination. We're all theologians. We are all theologians. It's just whether or not what we believe is true or not that makes the difference. And if you'll turn to Psalm 19, it is one of the most profound psalms in that book describing what God is like. C.S. Lewis said it is the grandest of all the psalms, and it's the greatest in describing what God is like. If you look at Psalm 19, you'll see if there's any theme to it. It's God saying, to know me is to love me. And here's how you can know me. You know God like you know other people, in what they've done and what they've said, the consequences of their choices and the way they've expressed themselves, the actions that they've taken and the communication they've left to you. And so when you study what God has done, it's like, again, studying a person that you love in, you know, with the eye of Columbo or the inside of Monk or kind of the observational skills of that guy on Psych. With that kind of dedication, if you know those shows, that kind of dedication to studying what God has done, He will reveal Himself to you continually, perpetually, and each time, hopefully, leaving you with a little more and being awestruck. When I was falling in love with my wife, there was a moment where things changed dramatically. I had gotten her a kitten because she was extremely lonely. She had moved out to California and lived in an apartment all by herself. So I got her this kitten, and she got on the floor with a kitten and just with a string, mind you, with just a string, played with this kitten, sang to it as he chased that little ribbon around and around and around and around and around and around. Are you getting it? Round and around. Having fun, never ceasing. And I looked at her and thought, I want that woman to raise my children. I have got to trick her into marrying me somehow. And so one time I said, hey, listen, if things ever get really bad, would you bury me? And she said, yeah, I'd bury you. Ah, married, that's it. I said, would you marry me? And that's how it happened. I saw her enormous love and dedicated patience to this little kitten and thought, I want her singing to my children. And she did. 4 years, every day they woke up with a custom song and a custom poem. And that's a good thing. If you look at the wonders of God, if you study with a mind tuned towards that, if you just look at the skies, if you'll look at just Psalm 19, 1 through 7 or 6 or so, it looks like this. This is much more descriptive than I could be.
The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech, and night after night they display knowledge. Oh, there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, and like a champion rejoicing to run his course. Oh, it rises from one end of the heavens, and it makes its circuit to the other. There is nothing hidden from its heat.
I wanted to go on and on about just the revelation of God, but we've been doing that for a lot of the summer as we studied the book of Psalms, and that's just a touch of what God has done. And by studying nature, you can see generally God's attributes. That's why sometimes they'll call it general revelation. But if you look at the second half of this psalm, starting in verse 7, it's talking about the spoken word of God. That's how you can know a person, by what they've done and then what they say. What they have left behind and then what they have communicated. In Psalm 19, starting in verse 7, it talks about the details, the notes being left behind. You can see David in the verses. Each of the verses are in couplets. Look at all the synonyms for the Bible. I mean, that's what he's talking about, the Bible, God's revealed word. The law, the testimony, the precepts, the commandments, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord. I mean, I picture David just sleeping with a scroll of the Old Testament, the Torah, the law, just because he loves that. It's how he communicates with God. It's how he knows God. And to know God is to love God. When Melinda and I were at a distance, we had 1,300 miles between us, we would write each other these love letters. And unfortunately, just last month, we were cleaning under our bed and we found some of these letters. Oh, they're bad. Oh, just some of them are 2 a days, you know, Tuesday morning. Oh, you know, and they go on and on and on. And then it's in the mail. And then a second one comes same day. Oh, I sealed the envelope and I had so much more to say. They didn't have anything to say. It was just, oh, gosh. We're hoping to burn those after the kids leave. And so they don't get found later. There's nothing nasty in them. They're just sappy. They're just sappy. But you know what? That's what happens. That's how you fall in love. It's by communicating. It's writing and reading and enduring and enjoying it. In 7a, it says, the law of Jehovah is perfect, reviving the soul. Some of your translations would say restoring the soul. It's the idea of setting things back the way they were supposed to be. The word of God, the love letters from afar are written to us to cover us and with the forgiveness of the promises of God. Our parched souls are drenched with the purity of his truth and the promises that he's made to forgive us and to cleanse us, to make us right. Some translations will even say converting the soul, because it's talking about in a technological context, it would be to reboot. To start over, to begin again. The Word of God has that kind of power because it shows and describes God's love for us, and he quenches our parched souls. Here at Grace Covenant Church, one of the ways that we apply this passage of the Word of God doing that is in our ministries called Grace Care. And if you'll turn to the back of your bulletin there, it says Grace Care. There's some tables in the lobby that you can sign up if you want to know more about them. Let me tell you a little bit about how we apply the restoration of power of the Word of God in Grace Cares. One thing that we have here is a thing called Stephen Ministries. That's a ministry where people like you, just lay people, are trained extensively, believe me. And they're trained extensively to come alongside people in times of extended need, whether it's unemployment or a loss for some kind of depression that won't seem to be shaken. Stephen Ministries out there. We have a thing called grief care for people that have lost someone and are trying to work through kind of the nonsense of the evil that runs rampant in our world. We have a man and a woman running that to help us negotiate that. We have a ministry called Divorce Care. This is brand new. I want to point that out to you. We have a brand new ministry starting this called Divorce Care. You don't have to be alone in going through the divorce. It's very practical. It's applying not just biblical things, but legal things to the separation that takes place, helping you psychologically deal with the things that take place. The other thing, we're in another care ministry here is Celebrate Recovery. And we have let you know about that in the past, that when you're stuck, again, you can't seem to get revived or restored. You can go and meet with fellow believers that are similar in the fact that they're stuck, you know, with a hurt or a hang up or some kind of habit that they cannot get out of. And they need the community of people to unstick them. It's a fabulous ministry that has all the potential of reviving the souls. And listen, we're kind of the teacher's pet in this ministry internationally. They had the national conference just a couple weeks ago, and Grace Covenant Church was in some respects featured there in that one of our investments overseas into Haiti, Chersan was asked to just share a little bit about how Greater Mount Zion and Missionary Baptist Church here in Austin and Grace Covenant Church took Celebrate Recovery to Haiti. It was a fabulous 5-minute report that hopefully we'll be able to share with you later on, but it's enormous, the power of this ministry. But here's the reason I'm advertising it is to let you know this. That because of the effectiveness of the ministry here at Grace, Celebrate Recovery International has asked Grace to pilot for the whole country the student ministry version of this. It's never been used before. They're just writing the curriculum, and they're asking us to try it out to see how it works. And so if you know someone that's in their teens that are stuck in these kind of habits or hurts or hang-ups, we have a place for them. They don't have to go to this church. They don't have to go to any church at all. You can find out more about it on that table called Grace Cares. It's out in the lobby because we want to restore people here at Grace by falling in love with God. Part B there, it says, the statutes of Jehovah are trustworthy. The statutes of Jehovah are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Making wise the simple. Wisdom is a word that could easily be described as depth perception. The ability to see the consequences of attitudes and values and choices before they actually take place. If you have a young child that's being taught by an elementary school teacher and they've been in it for more than a decade, meet with them. After 3 weeks, they've figured him out. They've been in the business long enough to see the consequences of attitudes and perspectives and actions. That's wisdom. Sometimes it's just a good memory, but that's wisdom. And wisdom helps us understand that every decision has a price tag and every decision is based on some kind of motive or value. And listen, it's not wrong to be ignorant. It's just wrong to stay there. And it's a very expensive way to live, and you don't have to live that way. The Bible demands and common sense dictates that you seek advice from people that are older than you are, that are traveled on a similar path but years ahead of you. And that's why we have a thing in our church here that talks about making wise the simple. It's in the context of our adult communities. These are Sunday school classes. There's a table out in the lobby if you want to see about that. But they're focused on helping you apply the Bible here and now. And many of those classes are specifically set up for various life stages. And those classes are run by, or at least in the background, overseen by people that have been in your shoes 10 years before you. And they've made a fair amount of the mistakes, and they've had a couple victories. And you don't have to make every mistake by yourself. And if you go to those classes, you can recommit to knowing God and enjoying Him by spending time with people with wisdom. And they will bring the Bible, the love letters from God, into your life to bring you to a place of wisdom. Next week, we're going to hear from a lady that in her life, getting to the point of parenting adolescents, she had a lot of life behind her, but she'd never parented an adolescent. And because of her class that she attended, she connected with other people that had been there before, and it changed her whole perspective, attitude, and values. It changed her home. Now, she could have wallowed in ignorance, and her daughter would have paid for that. Or she could have pursued wisdom in other people's lives. Come next week. You'll love to hear that story. The Bible, those words from God, when you know God, you love God. They can revive the soul. They can give wisdom. And look what it says in verse 8. It says it gives us joy. Joy. The precepts of Jehovah are right, giving joy to the heart. Joy is that inner tranquility. It's that peace that goes beyond circumstances. It means when you're in here and you've had a great week and things are celebratory and you can worship God with hands held high, that's joy. It means when you're in a waiting room or staring into a hole in the ground because someone you love has been laid to rest, there's a stabilizing factor that's deep down in your soul, and you know that regardless of the sorrow that you feel right now, and it's unlikely you may eat a meal for another 2 weeks, you still are well. That's joy. And these words from God that He's given us, it's called the Bible, give us that confidence because of the knowledge that God is true. He doesn't lie. His character is dependable. Intimacy like that, those kinds of words can't happen just anywhere. People speaking that kind of truth when you need it at that very moment, it doesn't happen in the lobby of a church like this. It can't. It's too easy to get distracted in here. Or even in a Sunday school class, honestly. Because there's a lot of commotion going on. If you look at just the architecture of our classrooms, they look like classrooms. There has to be another avenue for you to get very deep and involved in people's lives, and that takes place in living rooms. And that's where our small group ministry takes place. And there'll be a table these tables are, I think, in the courtyard. We moved in the courtyard. And if you want that kind of relationship with other people, that's the place to get plugged in. Because the most tender thing you can ever share with another human being is your joy, your dreams, the things you hope for. And kind of the shadow of that, the negative of that, is when those things are quenched. One of the ways that I love my wife so much is because there have been a couple times in my life where things were really going my way. And I had this very vivid dream a number of years ago about just God and where I fit in that picture. And somehow, I can't go into the details, but there was a train in it. There was a train in the dream. And so at one of the climaxes of my whole experience that I call life, my wife brought me a train. And she gave me this card, and she had a Bible verse attached to it about how great God is and how fun it is to serve Him. 18 months ago, it was one of the lowest points of my life. And just everywhere I turned, it was no place to go, and you know, running was not an option. And I felt very trapped and scared. And on my desk, at a little different desk, a little nook that I kind of study in sometimes, there was a train, a little train, with a note, with a different verse. It talked about hope. And the consistency of God. I love my wife because she knows how to speak the word of God into my soul when I need it. That happens if you let people. And it can't happen in here, and it can't happen in a classroom. It happens in living rooms. That's how you fall in love with God, is you hear those words at those times when you can't find them. When you recommit to knowing God and loving God, could you consider going into a small group to do that as a means of doing that? It can be risky because of its intimacy, but it's worth the risk. The alternative is you don't want that. 19, verse 8, I think it's part B there. The commands of Jehovah are radiant. They're radiant. They give light to the eyes. It's when you're kind of fumbling through life and even sometimes kind of the decisions that you're making, and then a passage comes to your mind and it's like, oh, now I see things from God's perspective. And the decisions sometimes get quite a bit easier. Maybe not easier, but certainly clearer. At Grace Covenant Church, we have our Bible studies that are just for that purpose. They kind of drill down. The women's Bible studies here are notoriously deep and effectual. And ladies, they're available on Tuesday night and Wednesday morning again. There's a table out there for you to get involved. These are wonderful ways of knowing God by literally studying the Word of God and those letters that have been written to us. And I want to point out something with a little more detail. The men's fraternity, we'll be starting that for the first time this coming September, September 8th, Wednesday mornings from 6:45 to 7:30, or 6:30, I'm sorry, 6:30 to 7:45. And this is the most energetic and most concerted effort in discipling men collectively as a group that this church has been engaged in 25 years. Matt Hinckley and I will be leading that, and we'll be illuminating. We will be bringing light to what makes a man and how to unstick him from being a boy. The things that are able to transform a human being into a courageous soldier poet so that he's radiant in his living room and in his workplace. Now, listen. A few years ago, we were interviewing someone for a youth pastor position, and we said, hey, you know, what's your strategy? How are you going to change things in the student ministry? And here's what the guy said. He said, listen, here's the easiest way to do things. You go after the girls. If you can get the girls to come to the youth group, the guys will follow. It's easy. There's a few tricks you have to do, but my wife, we could probably do that. Wouldn't be a problem. And we'll be able to fill the place. But if you want to change a civilization, you go after the boys. And if you can change those boys into becoming men, the girls will come to wonder. And through attracting the boys and making them into men, you can change a civilization. It won't just be a happy place like the other model prevails, but it's a place to restore things. In the cover of his devotional is the motto of the Navy SEALs. That was his vision for ministry. It's a true one. We saw that in Psalm 127. You want to change the world? You start with a living room. You start with a man. You start with a husband. We're going to do that starting September 8th. Guys, I dare you to show up. It'll be a good time. It'll be a good time. Look at Psalm 19, verse 9. Look at that. It says, the fear of Jehovah is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of Jehovah are sure, altogether righteous. God doesn't change, and his words are enduring forever. Man doesn't change either. So that's why the Bible has so much power and effectiveness in our lives to revolutionize us if we choose to recommit. Look, you want to know about the problem of evil? That was answered in Job's life 5,000 years ago. You want to... If you're kind of maybe impulsive and you're tired of living with the consequences of that, you could study the life of Esau. That's 4,000 years ago. You don't know what to do with a promotion and how to respond to that effectively, maybe even biblically. 3,000 years ago, Joseph taught us how. If we had that kind of character, that would be great. You're kind of getting a little drunk on power and where that could lead. Maybe you might just sleep in and one of your responsibilities. 2 Samuel chapter 11, in the life of David, that was 3,000 years ago, shows how one small decision can lead to a lifetime of consequences just by sleeping in. Hey, you got a relative that won't even try to work but keeps asking for handouts? There's a whole paragraph in 1 Thessalonians that tells you how to deal with that person that you love, but just won't even try to work. You see, God hasn't changed, the nature of man hasn't changed significantly, and because of that, the Word of God helps us fall in love with Him, and it's able to transform us. The Bible itself will survive the collapse of the universe. There is no book like it. There is nothing even comparable to it. It is timeless, and it's true. To know God is to love God, and the primary means of knowing the details of God is found in the Bible. Look at the chorus. The chorus of the psalm here is in verse 10. It says, the words of God, are more desirable than gold, yes, much fine gold, sweeter than any honey and dripping, like honey dripping from a honeycomb. That would be like sweeter than chocolate. Deep, dark chocolate, ladies. Is that how you look at your Bibles? It should be. The last verse that we're going to look at, verse 11, says that the Bible has the ability to save us and reward us. Save us and reward us. Moreover, verse 11, moreover, by them, the word of God, by the words, thy servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. In keeping the precepts of the Bible, there is great reward. You guys, some of you know the name Dustin Johnson. Just last week, Dustin Johnson, he's just 26 years old. He's a very young athlete. He's a golfer. And he's in the PGA Championship, mind you, after 3 days of golfing 18 holes. He's on his 72nd hole, the last hole. He's ahead by one stroke. He's going to win this thing. And he kind of hits the ball off, and it goes off to the right and kind of into the crowd, past the little ropes and barriers, the tapes, and he's just kind of in a patch of just dirt. And so Dustin goes over there and puts the club down right behind the ball and then swings and hits the ball. Because he kind of went off course a little bit, he ends up being tied and in the playoffs for the finals of the PGA Championship. Wait, whoa. The guys come down out of the box seats, the supervisors of the tournament, and said, no, he's got a two-stroke penalty for putting his club down. You can't put your club down, apparently, if you're in a trap. It didn't look like a trap. This golf course has 1,000 to 200 traps. Okay, that's a lot. People that don't golf, that's like everything's a trap if it's not green. And there are so many traps, and then basically the definition is everything's a trap. And that is such the case in this particular golf course that the riders, or the rulemakers of this course and this tournament said, look, we're going to issue a special instruction. We're going to give it to every single player and we will post it in the locker room. Don't miss this. It says that if anything falls, if the ball falls anywhere, it's a trap and you can't put your club down first or it'll cost you two strokes. You know what Dustin Johnson said? I didn't read that. He didn't read that. He said, I should have read the rule sheet a little harder. I thought that piece of dirt by the crowd was just trampled down. I didn't realize it was an actual bunker. Here's what the rule said. All areas of the course that were designated and designed and built are sand bunkers will be played as bunkers, whether they look like bunkers or not, whether they've been raked or not. Some of them, past the ropes, will have footprints on them and heel prints on them, but they are still bunkers nonetheless. Such irregularities of the surfaces are part of this game. You have no freedom to put your club down. He lost the golf course. He lost the PGA Championship because he didn't read the directions. Just like it says in Psalms. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. This week's a whole different week for Dustin Johnson. This week's different. This week, Dustin Johnson is in 7 out of 9 sermons this Sunday. That'll be his claim to fame. Listen, if I were a counselor, I would say, please read your Bibles, please. It'd be good for you. If I were a coach, I'd say, look, you read your Bibles or I'll make you run till you throw up. If I were a Catholic mother, I'd say, if you love me, you read your Bible. If I were your boss, I'd say, if you don't read your Bible, I'll fire you. I'm your pastor, and I'll tell you this. If you open this book and apply it to your life, and are open-hearted and vulnerable to it, you will fall madly in love with the maker of the universe and the originator of salvation, and you will never be the same. It will turn your life upside down. You will be a person of legend. Now, you know, if you look at this bulletin, even if you think about the way I've taught today, if you think of this as a menu, then I've done you a disservice. Because these are opportunities to serve as well as to grow. And nothing can plateau or ruin a relationship with another human being or with God than being a taker and not a giver. If you're just a taker, you've taken on the form of a Siamese cat. And you're not a Siamese cat. They just take and take and take and look at them. The whole world hates them. God hates them. Don't be a Siamese cat. Look at these opportunities, not just to go and grow, but also to serve. To serve. There's some things you can't learn unless you're giving. Okay? Look, I'll tell you what. We can start here. How many of you guys know where Echelon 3 is, where the adult Sunday school classes or adult communities meet? Let me see your hands. All right, look, leave your hands up. I deputize you a greeter. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to be a greeter for Grace Covenant Church. It's one of the friendliest churches in Austin. And here's how you can help continue that. When you look at people in the lobby, they'll come in and they'll look around because it's a pretty nice place. And they'll also look lost. This is a lost look. Wow, where do I go? Or they're just roaming around the parking lots not knowing where to go. Here's what you do. You don't have to drop the conversation you're involved in to go help them. You can bring your friend that you're having a conversation with. You say, hey, Bill, let's go. That guy's new. If I've ever seen him, let's go. Let's go help him. Let's sit next to him in church. Let's take him to one, maybe our adult community. That'd be great. Could you do that? You could do that. That's how you can serve around here. That's how it starts. But here's what I'd like you to do today. I'd like you to consider this. Would you recommit? Some of you maybe commit for the first time in your pursuit of knowing God and loving God. Do that by applying the Bible in your life. And we have all these means of applying your Bible to your life. Look, studying God doesn't have to be clinical, like dissecting a frog. It can be like gazing at a sunset that leaves us speechless. It's more like a husband pursuing a wife that he's deeply, passionately in love with, about trying to find out what she likes and dislikes and what her values are, the things that are attractive to her. That's what it's like to pursue God. To know Him is to love Him. We're all theologians, you know. It's just whether or not what we believe is true or just imagination. I want you to commit today, and some recommit today, not to be a better person. That's not the point of this church. That's not why we do ministry here. We don't want you to be a better person to do better things. Our ambitions are godly. We want you to be a different kind of person, to do different kinds of things. Things that need explaining and a supernatural source to be understood. Do you understand? Your good old boy, West Texas uncle, can be this friendly. But only through Christ's Spirit living in you can you be this forgiving. And so we're here to be part of the power of the Spirit of God, working in people's lives to make them different kinds of people, to do different kinds of things. If that's your ambition, you're going to find this to be an exciting place to serve, an exciting place to learn. This church, Grace, is built on the tenets, the commandments, the fears of God, the precepts of God, the Word of God. That's what we do here, because that's where we put our hope in the power of God's transformation. Because we believe to know God is to love God, and to know God is through experiencing what He's done and what He's left us. I want to just close with just this, I want you to stop and think about today. Do you want to be a different kind of person? Not something that you could hope for or discipline to get to, but something that you would be, that would require an invasion of a supernatural God to ignite in you. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. And I just want you to answer that question to God. God, I know there's people here that want that. They're tired of just trying harder and working harder, reading another how-to book. And yet right before us is the Word of God that just needs to be opened and then applied. God, I'd ask that people in this room right now would recommit to knowing You and loving You. as a consequence of that they would love other people, that the love from you would flow through their souls, transformed by that power, to be kind and peaceful and gentle and loving. How many of you, keep your heads down, how many of you want to recommit? Raise your hands. Okay. Dear God, I'd ask that that you'd answer that longing in the heart to be different kinds of people, a different kind of person altogether, just possessed by your Spirit, drunk as unto your love, that we could do bold and daring and just courageous acts, that we could be lovers of our fellow man, and that we could be your ambassadors here. We pray this with great hope and expectation that you would fulfill that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a podcast of the ministry of Grace Covenant Church in Austin, Texas. If you'd like more information about our church and ministries, please visit us on the web at grace360.org.